All right, so you guys can turn to Matthew chapter 18 if you have a Bible. Like I said, that's where we're going to be at today. I was preparing a sermon all week in 2 Timothy. This is where we've been. And then we changed up having service. We were supposed to have a baptism service. So it didn't really make sense to preach a sermon about baptism and everything today. So I decided to just kind of pull one out from sermons that I've preached before in the past. And this was one that I've done on forgiveness. And so Matthew chapter 18, again, and starting in verse 21. And what you're going to see first is that Jesus is answering a question. He's answering a question that his disciple Peter had in verse 21. Peter says this to the Lord: "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" So it starts with a question that Peter has, and this question kind of makes you think, well, maybe somebody is actually sinning against Peter. Like, what's going on in Peter's life right now that he's asking this specific question at this moment? I think there was probably something happening behind the scenes we're not seeing. So he asked him, how many times do I have to forgive him? Seven times? Okay, the first point that I want us to see here, and the truth that I want us to see, is that all of us in this fallen world will be sinned against at times. Okay, and all of us, unfortunately, will sin against others. The point that I'm making here is all of us have this opportunity to forgive others and to be forgiven all the time. Okay, Peter was going through it. How many times should I forgive somebody who's sinning against me? All of us have this opportunity. So Peter says, how many times? Seven times? He kind of gives Jesus the answer, right, before asking. He doesn't just say how many times. He kind of suggests a possible answer, right? Should I do it seven times? What's interesting is that the rabbis of this day had a recommendation for how many times you should forgive somebody before you stop forgiving them. And does anybody want to guess what that number was?
Seven.
No, it wasn't seven. It was three. I know why you would say seven, because it just... So it was three. So what Peter's doing here, he's making it sound even better than the rabbis. The rabbis around them are teaching, you forgive somebody three times and after that you stop. So Peter's like making himself sound pretty good to Jesus right now. Like, should I forgive seven times? Okay, this is kind of Peter. If you know Peter in the Bible, he's kind of always saying stuff to make himself look better. So he says seven times. And Jesus gives this reply, verse 22, says, "I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times." Okay, so wow, like it's not just seven. 77, he says. Okay, so other translations in the Bible, 70 times seven, yours might say 70 times seven, or 77, some say. Hey, the point is that Jesus is trying to make is it's complete. Like, there's no end to it. When he says 70 times seven, that's 490, right? So he's not saying like the 491st time you don't have to forgive either. Okay, in the Bible, seven or 70, they represent completeness, wholeness, right? God created the world in 7 days. It was complete, it was whole. And so what he's saying is there's an unlimited number of times that we are to forgive our brother or sister when they sin against us. When it says 70 times seven, and sometimes I think, like, it feels like my kid's on like the 487th time. Like, you got three more chances. I've been counting. No, he's not. That's not what he's saying. He's saying it's an unlimited number of times that we are called to forgive others who ask for forgiveness from us. Okay? Followers of Jesus are called to forgive others infinitely. And why? We're going to talk about that today. And the point that we're going to see consistently today is this: forgiven people forgive people. Forgiven people forgive people. So what Jesus does to kind of emphasize this and teach about why, he goes into a story, okay, like Jesus did often. And in this story, we're going to see three things with forgiveness. The first thing is that forgiveness is needed. Forgiveness is needed. Look at verse 23. I'm going to read it for us again. It says, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made." So when you don't really understand the money system, because if you're just reading this and you didn't know anything about the system of money back then, you'd be like, what is a talent, right? That's what I would be thinking. Anyways, a talent was 20 years of a typical worker's wages back then. Okay, so most of us said we'd be making one talent in 20 years of working. So 10,000 talents, which is the number that this guy owed his master, was 200,000 years of his typical wages. Okay? So this is like a ridiculous, purposefully a ridiculous, astronomical, unreachable number that this master is owed by this servant. In today's terms, in today's money, if you figured it out, it'd be about $7 billion. Okay, so just think about that. How long is it going to take you to come up with $7 billion to pay something off? A long time, 200,000 years. Okay? So why is he using these extremely high numbers? We've got to ask ourselves that, right? Why is he using these ridiculously high numbers? What he's doing here, guys, he's teaching us about sin. He's teaching us about something more. It's not just about money. He's teaching us about sin. See, and in our culture, guys, we don't like to talk about sin. Sin makes us uncomfortable to talk about it, right? We prefer, in our culture, we prefer to call them bad choices or sometimes like growth areas, right? When the Bible calls it sin. Okay, the problem that a lot of us have when it comes to sin is that we don't think about sin the way the Bible does. Most people look at sin only like on a horizontal level, as far as like, if I do something, it's going to hurt somebody else, right? If I do something to harm someone, then that's sin, okay? And yes, that might be sin. The problem with that is, though, thinking it's only sin if it hurts another person. That's not necessarily the case. The ultimate root of sin is that it's going against what God says, okay? In the Bible, there's a verse to kind of illustrate this for you. There's a verse in the Psalms, okay? This was a psalm written by a guy named David. If you don't know that story, David had basically raped a woman named Bathsheba, got her pregnant, who was not his wife, raped her, basically got her pregnant, and had her husband killed to cover it up, to cover up his lie. Okay, that's kind of the gist of it. So the point is, this was an awful thing that he had done. It was a sin. He had sinned against Bathsheba. He had sinned against Uriah. But in his prayer of asking God for forgiveness, which is written in Psalm 51, he says this: against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Talking to God. Okay, so yes, he sinned against Bathsheba. He sinned against people, but ultimately David was mostly concerned that he had sinned against God. It harmed other people, but his sin was something that was against God. Okay, the point that I'm making here, guys, is that sin is sin. Not because of what it does to other people around us. It does harm us, other people around us. But sin is sin because it's rejecting a good and holy God. Okay, sin is sin because it's rejecting holy God. Think about some sins, right? Lying. Of course, that's going to hurt people around us. Stealing. That's going to hurt people around us. Lust. All these things. Okay, those hurt people. But the point, the main thing that makes those things bad is that they reject what God calls good. Okay, God calls those things evil, and he calls other things good. And so when we replace what God calls good and replace it with what we call good, that's making ourselves God instead of God, right? And that's the ultimate rejection of God. That's the ultimately what makes evil evil, and what makes bad things is that God, it's replacing what we think is good and evil with what God says is good or evil. This is why sin is bad. Okay, and this is why hell is infinite. Okay, so all this to say, sin, Jesus is teaching about sin here, and sin is like a debt that we owe to God. Sin is like that 200,000 years of wages that we owe towards God that we cannot pay, and that is why we all need forgiveness. Okay, look at verse 26. The servant fell on his knees, imploring him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." Okay, we all need forgiveness. But look at what the servant does. He doesn't just ask forgiveness. He says, "Have patience, and I will pay you everything." Remember, guys, it's going to take 200,000 years for him in his typical job. So where's he going to come up with this money to pay it all back? He wants to earn it and repay it. It doesn't make any sense. That's $7 billion. Okay, and the point here is he's not getting it. The servant doesn't get what he needs. He needs forgiveness of the debt. He doesn't need to earn it back or to pay it back. In fact, he can't pay it back. And when it comes to our sin, a lot of times what we try to do as human beings is try to earn our salvation. Okay, we try to like pay that full debt back to God. We try to do good things, maybe do religious things, go to church, be involved, all this stuff. Okay, and those are maybe good things. But when we do it to try to earn or merit or get some credit, right, performance before God to earn our salvation, that doesn't work. The Bible calls that works salvation. We can't be saved by what we do, by our works. We can't pay the debt back that we owe to God by how good we are, how good we do. It's like, it would be like, when we try to do that, when we try to earn our salvation, it's like us trying to collect pennies to pay this $7 billion debt. It's ridiculous, right? It looks ridiculous when you look at it through God's eyes. What we need is forgiveness. Okay, all of us need forgiveness. And so what happens then in next in the story, we're going to go to verse 27. We see that forgiveness was received. Okay, so look at verse 27. Out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave the debt. Okay, so that the master had pity, or another verse says, version says compassion. He felt compassion towards him. He released him from the debt. He forgave the debt. Forgiveness was offered to the servant. The same forgiveness that was offered to the servant for his debt is offered to you and me through Jesus. And through Jesus alone. Just think about the forgiveness that we have in Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us a little bit about that. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, which means sins, according to the great riches of his grace. Okay, it's the same in the story. Just like in the story, the master had compassion and forgave the debt. If you are a believer in Jesus, if you have your trust and faith in him, not if you're a perfect person. If you have your trust and faith in Jesus, your debt is forgiven. Your sins, your trespasses are forgiven. It's been completely let go of by God. That is amazing. That is why we are followers of Jesus, because of what he's done to forgive us, to pay a debt that we cannot pay. A word, guys, in this passage that is in verse 27 that is really interesting. It's a good Bible word to know. The Greek word is aphiemi. It means to send something away or to let something go. So there's two parts of that word. The first part means separation. The second part's to send something out. So it's like it's separated. It's completely sent, being sent away. 52 times in the Bible, this is translated as leave, and only 47 is translated as forgive. So the word translated a lot in the Bible for forgive actually literally means to send something away, to let go of something. God lets go of our sin and the debt that we owe him of our sin. He lets go of it completely. He lets it aside. Look at Psalm 103. Again, this is describing what God does. He says he removed our sins. God has removed our sins as far as us, as the east is from the west. Just reflect on that for today. This is the way God forgives us. He doesn't hold on to it. He doesn't kind of like wait till later to remind us of it. He forgives us and he completely lets it go. Okay? He doesn't hold on to it to beat us up down the road. He forgives us and he lets it go. So, forgiveness can be received. But we have to ask then, did the servant in the story forgive? Sorry, did he receive the forgiveness? Did he actually receive the forgiveness? Let's look at the next verse. Verse 28. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. See, the servant, he goes out, and it seems like he almost goes out and starts choking people who owed him money before the master could even say, like, you're forgiven. Like, it was like in the same breath. Like, I forgive you. Okay, he's out there choking people for money right after that, right? Now, again, if you don't understand, like, this, the money, which who would, right? It's 100 denarii. And 100 denarii was about 100 days' wages for a laborer at that time. So it's not insignificant, but it's not worth choking somebody out over, right? It's kind of like 100 denarii was 1/600,000th of the debt that he owed. Okay, so it would be like you owing somebody $600,000 and then choking someone to get a dollar from them. Okay, it just doesn't make sense, right? It doesn't make sense. But here's the picture. Like, here's the picture God's teaching us through that, is that when we withhold forgiveness from others, it chokes the life out of us, and it chokes the life out of other people around us. Okay, it chokes out the life. When we withhold forgiveness, it's like choking people for dollars when we owe so much to God. Okay, the point, again, like, think about it, just like the debt. He had owed 200,000 years of wages, and he's choking people for pennies, okay? And the point that I think he's trying to make to us through this story is that we have to forgive people based on not on what they've done or who we are, what we've done to them, but based on how God's forgiven us. God's forgiven us of so much, so much. We all owe a debt that we cannot pay to God. And so for us to withhold that forgiveness from others shows that we maybe don't understand how much God has forgiven us. Think about this question. Is there somebody around you or in your life that you're having a hard time forgiving right now? Maybe it's somebody from your past. Maybe it's 30 years ago that something happened. Who do you have to forgive? Who are you having a hard time in your heart forgiving right now? Okay, think about that. And now think about this. Their debt to you that they owe you is real. Like, they probably did something horrible to hurt you, and I'm not downplaying that, but it's like 1/600,000th of the debt you owe to God. Okay, so if you can't forgive that person, do you really understand how much God has forgiven you? Let's look to the end in the second part, or finish this parable out. See what happens next. It says in verse 32, "Then his master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should go pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father," Jesus says, "will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." Okay, he gets to the point in verse 35. That's what God's going to do to you if you don't forgive. Okay, we are to forgive others as a reflection of God's forgiveness for us. Like we said earlier, forgiven people forgive people. When we truly understand how much God's forgiven us, we will be willing, we will want to forgive others in that same way. We will want to be like God. That's the greatest joy we have as a believer, as a Christian, is that you could become like Jesus. There's nothing better in the world than becoming more like him, okay? And just like in Luke verse 6:36, Jesus said, "Therefore be merciful, just as your Father in heaven is also merciful." So it's like a comparison. It's like we're to be merciful to reflect what God is like. There's nothing better in life than that, when you can live in a way that reflects to people around you what Jesus is like, what God is like. Okay, notice again, this verse does not say, "Therefore, keep this sin in your head so you can bring it up in the future, just like your Heavenly Father keeps our sins in his head so he can bring it up against us in the future." It doesn't say that. It says, "Be merciful like God is merciful." It doesn't say, "Be somewhat stingy and withhold your forgiveness from others, just like God is stingy and withholds forgiveness from others." It doesn't say that. Again, in the Bible, east is from the west. That's super far, right? It's infinitely far. The east is from the west. We are completely forgiven. God sends our sin away. He completely forgives us. Okay, there's a quote by a pastor named, older pastor who's passed away, D.L. Moody. And he said that sometimes we think we've forgiven somebody, but when we kind of want to hold on to it and kind of bring it back, it's like we've buried the hatchet, but we've left the handle out of the ground so that we can grab it again if we want to. Okay, and that's not what forgiveness is. When we truly forgive, we completely forgive. We let it go. We give the debt back to God. And that's what God calls us to forgive like. He calls us to forgive like he has forgiven us, completely letting go of that debt. So one thing that I do want to say this morning, yes, we are to reflect the forgiveness that God has forgiven us with. Okay, but as we talk about this, I do just want to say this. Forgiveness is different than reconciliation. Okay, I don't want us to misunderstand this aspect of it, because those are two different things. Okay, when we forgive somebody, we let go of the debt that they owe to us for what they have done to us. Okay, and it only takes one person to forgive somebody. Okay, so if somebody does something to me, I can forgive them without them. That other person doesn't have to do anything. Okay, it's not up to them at all. I can forgive them. That's forgiveness. Okay, but reconciliation is when there's both parties that are forgiving one another and coming back together and continuing and building, rebuilding the relationship. Okay, and sometimes if God allows forgiveness to lead to reconciliation, and in some cases that's a good thing. We should reconcile the relationship, continue the relationship after there's been forgiveness. But sometimes that's not what God wants. Okay, sometimes that's actually not the best thing for there to be reconciliation in the relationship. Let me give you an example of that. So if there's like abuse, okay, if somebody's been in an abusive relationship, any type of abuse, then we don't always, those people don't need to reconcile. Okay, yes, you need to be able to forgive your abuser ultimately for what they've done to you. Okay, and let go of that debt, even though that's super hard, I know. But we need to be able to forgive even people who have abused us. But that doesn't mean you need to go and reconcile with them and be best friends with them or have them as part of your life. Okay, there's two different things. Forgiveness is not the same thing as reconciliation. So I'm not saying that we need to reconcile with everybody, that we need to open ourselves up to people who've been harmful or hurtful to us, but we do need to forgive them. And as we close here today, I just want us to think about this. When we choose not to forgive others, when we don't reflect God's forgiveness, what that truly points to, just like the man in the story, okay, what that points to is that we've not truly received forgiveness, or we've not understood, or we're not completely understanding God's forgiveness. Okay, forgiveness not reflected points to forgiveness not received. Okay, think about what the story with the servant, right? He had never truly received forgiveness. Remember, he was trying to pay it back. He was always trying to like earn it. He was always trying to work for it. He never just accepted that the master was going to pay for his debt. He never received forgiveness, so therefore he couldn't offer it to others. Okay, and the question you have to ask yourself is, was that unforgiving servant saved in the end? Clearly in the story, the unforgiving servant was not saved. He did not know the master. He did not know the father. Okay, and it wasn't because he wouldn't forgive, ultimately. Like, it wasn't like he wasn't saved because he wouldn't forgive. But he couldn't forgive because he had never received forgiveness. He wasn't saved because he didn't have forgiveness of his sins from God, which comes through trusting in God and what he has done for you. He tried to come to God on his own terms instead of God's terms. He tried to pay for his own sin, which you and I cannot do. Okay, we cannot do that. And I want you to, last thing today, ask yourself that question. In your life, are you trying to pay for your own sin by making it up to God, by being really good in other ways, by just doing better next time? Or are you relying on the fact that that God in Jesus Christ has already paid for your sin, that if you put your trust in him, if you believe right now in him, then all of your sin is taken away? That is truly the only way to the Father, through trusting in Jesus alone, not relying on your own self to do better or to work at all, to work in any way for your salvation, but to trust in Jesus alone, that he has paid for your sin when he died on the cross at Calvary. That was to pay the penalty that you and I owe, the debt that you and I owe to God, a debt that we can never repay. That was what that was for. And all that we need to do to receive that forgiveness is say, yes, Jesus, I trust you. Thank you for what you have done for me. I want to live for you. I want to allow you into my heart and life. And I want to live for you in this world. I want to allow you in. So again, if you're struggling right now to forgive someone today, remember what God's done for you. Remember the debt that he's paid for you. Remember how he's forgiven all of your sin. Okay, and again, if you're not really sure what I'm talking about, ask yourself the hard question. Have I really received God's forgiveness? Do I really know what it means to be clean, to be washed away of all the guilt, all the shame, all the debt that I owe to God because of my sin? Okay. With that said, would you pray with me today? Father God, thank you for this day. Father, thank you for this story. And it's a heavy story, God. But God, I just pray that you would help us to understand what you're saying to us through it. God, thank you for what you have done on the cross to forgive all of our sin. God, to forgive my sin. God, I am a sinner. I confess that to you, God, today. I am a sinner and in need of a Savior. Every day I need your complete grace and forgiveness. I need my debt to be paid, God, to be washed away. God, thank you that you do that for us, that just like the master in the story, you have compassion on us, God. Thank you for that, that you feel that compassion and you through that compassion, you sent Jesus to die on the cross, to be that replacement, that substitute where I should have died. You gave your life to die on the cross so that I could have life and forgiveness in Jesus' name. God, I pray that all the people in this room right now would know that deep grace, God, that you show us, that deep level of forgiveness. We just thank you for that, Jesus, today. And God, I pray that as we've received that forgiveness, you would help us to reflect that forgiveness to others. God, help us to be people who are most happy about being like our Savior, about being like Jesus. And when we have opportunities to forgive others as Jesus has forgiven us, God, help us to make the most of those opportunities. Help us to let go of sin that's been done against us, to completely let it go, to send it away, just as you have. God, help us to be wise so that we're not taken advantage of or hurt, but yet not hold on to those sins. God, I pray that in this body, in this group of people, you would be working out just a people that is hungry to follow you and hungry to know you in this way. Jesus, thank you for this story. Help us to walk in your forgiveness this week. Lord, we love you. Praise you for all of what you've done, who you are. Amen. Amen. So that was, it's kind of a heavy message today, but I thought that would be